I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. We're going to spend some time today talking about the fight to curb illicit drug use in this country. In a few minutes, we'll talk about how drug traffickers are using Indian tribal lands on the border. But first, there's news from President Obama's drug czar, Gil Kerlikowske. Today, he unveiled the results of a new national survey showing a dramatic rise in substance abuse treatment admissions by those age 12 and over. The cause? Prescription pain relievers. It turns out that these legal drugs have become law enforcement's biggest drug challenge. Rogue pain clinics have made getting large quantities of these pills an easy job. Many have been shut down, but many are still operating in Houston, Los Angeles, and South Florida. With us now is Michael LaForgia of the Palm Beach Post. He's done extensive reporting on rogue clinics in Florida, and he joins us now to tell us more about them from member station WXEL in West Palm Beach. Welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, could you just set the table for us? When you're talking about a rogue pain clinic, what do you mean? Are these places that have a legal function and an illegal function on the side, or what exactly are we talking about?
Well, that was the problem to begin with. These types of clinics were operating right out in the open, and they could do that because of the way that the state laws were written. They were operating in a loophole that allowed them to accept cash only for high volumes of painkillers and remain unregulated.
Why were people utilizing these rogue pain clinics? Is it that people are just looking for another way to get high, or were people utilizing them because they felt that they were out of options, that they were people who were legitimately in pain, looking for some help with pain management, and felt that the legitimate sources were just not hearing them? How did this start?
I think that there were probably a combination of customers or patients at these clinics. Some of them actually did have legitimate pain. But as these things sort of took off, the draw was far and away higher among people who were seeking drugs for illegal purposes.
How big is the volume that we're talking about? How big of a phenomenon is this? If you could give us some sense of it.
It's huge. There was a single clinic that was raided here in Palm Beach County in March, and federal investigators determined that each of the five doctors who were working at the clinic dispensed about 500,000 pills in 2009 alone. Mm-hmm. A lot of these clinics would see up to 200 patients per day, and a typical prescription or a typical amount of pills that they would walk away with is anything from 150 to 200 oxycodone tablets, 60 Xanax. They were prescribing Valiums, things like that.
What kind of customers are seeking out these clinics?
There are a lot of people from out of state, and especially from the Appalachian Mountains area. Tennessee, Kentucky, West Virginia, you'll see those license plates jamming the parking lots of these pain clinics day and night in some cases.
Is it assumed or believed that these people are then creating a secondary market, that they're going to go take these pills and sell them to other people? Or is there a sense they're using them themselves? What do people think?
Right. Well, if you ask law enforcement, they are drug traffickers who are basically pouring these pills directly from the doctor's prescribing pad into the black market. And prescription drug abuse is just absolutely ravishing areas in the Appalachian Mountains where these pills are harder to get, and they'll be sold for $30 to $40 per pill when you can buy them here or get them dispensed at $2 to $3.
How do we know a place is a rogue clinic?
Well, there's a lot of variation. There have been instances in which legitimate doctors, a pediatrician in one case, spend only part of their day prescribing pills to drug seekers. And that unraveled pretty quickly because the parents of the children who were coming in to see the doctor would notice addicts lining up outside and jamming the waiting room. So they alerted the authorities pretty quickly. Others seem to open up solely to cater to these people who are coming from out of state to buy drugs. They'll advertise in local newspapers that they don't require a Florida ID in order to get drugs. They'll even say things like out-of-state patients welcome.
Who runs these clinics? Are these licensed doctors running these clinics?
Well, in a lot of cases, the doctors are only working part-time at the clinics. And basically, the way things are or the way things were in Florida, anyone, any entrepreneur could set up a clinic and team up with a doctor and then just start doling out pills.
How big of an issue is prescription drug abuse for law enforcement? What are your sources telling you?
Yeah, it's an enormous issue down here. Back in the 80s, Florida was known for its cocaine, and law enforcement aggressively tried to take that on into the 90s. And nowadays, they hardly get a cocaine case that they're working. They're almost exclusively doing prescription drug diversion cases down here now.
What are your sources telling you about why that is? Is there a sense that it's just a path of least resistance, that people find it easier to get a hold of this kind of drug, and it's a less of a hassle?
Well, sure. It's a close cousin to heroin, and it's manufactured by a major pharmaceutical company and sold from pharmacies and from doctor's offices.
Are there particular groups that are more affected by this than others?
In Florida, it's almost as if everyone is affected by this. I personally know several people whose lives have been affected by this, family members, close friends, who have, in some cases, died of drug overdoses.
How does this continue? I mean, if people assume or believe or authorities can trace the fact that high volumes of controlled substances or prescription drugs are being prescribed at specific locations far in excess of what one reasonably would assume an individual person needs for pain management or that patient caseload would tolerate or need for pain management, how does it continue?
Well, two reasons. First of all, there were, by last count, more than 1,000 pain clinics operating in Florida. And law enforcement and the state regulators just don't have the resources to keep tabs on every single one of them. And secondly, the state didn't regulate it up until recently. These pain clinics weren't subject to state regulation like regular clinics or doctor's offices because they didn't take insurance. And since they dealt only in cash, they were able to fly under the radar.
Michael LaForgia is a reporter for the Palm Beach Post, and he joined us from member station WXEL in West Palm Beach. Michael, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome.